Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Great. We have a little more diabetes to talk about this week.
We do have more diabetes, and this is a great diabetes study. This is one of my favorite, perhaps in the past year or so. It addresses a very important question, and while it's a clinical question, and I'll tell the listeners what it is right up front, it is what is the association between survival and glycemic control, a very simple question. I think the answer is profound, and it really calls into question what we've been doing and why we've been doing what we've been doing for so long. So, Mark, tell us a little bit about the study. It was published in Lancet. It got a fair amount of attention. It wasn't the first study to make this conclusion, but it was the most well-articulated of the papers that I've read on this. What did they find?
Well, this was a large retrospective cohort study, and you'll recall, and we've talked about these studies in the past, that there have been a number of clinical trials, and in particular, recently, the ADVANCE and the ACCORD studies have shown that there really wasn't any meaningful clinical benefit to aggressively trying to lower blood sugars and get them really low, like targets of 6.5% or 6% or under 7% even. And they found that patients actually had similar and in some cases better outcomes with a more modest or moderate target of around 7.5% A1C. In fact, one of the studies was stopped after a year. I believe it was the ADVANCE study, was stopped after 1 year because they had so many more deaths in the tight control group. So nonetheless, in this study, the authors didn't do a randomized trial, so this was a retrospective cohort study. The first cohort was about 28,000 patients over 50 who had type 2 diabetes and who progressed from monotherapy with oral agents to combination therapy. The second group was another 20,000 who had intensified therapy that included insulin, in this case, and they also had type 2 diabetes. For each decile of glycosylated hemoglobin, the authors estimated the risk of dying after adjusting for all the usual risk factors that could also affect mortality, like age and comorbidities and smoking and BMI. So basically, they figured out the adjusted risk of death for the highest 10% of A1Cs, the next highest 10%, and so on, down to the lowest 10% of A1Cs. And they graphed that information. The average follow-up was 4.5 years to 5 years in the two groups. And they found that there were about 16 deaths per 1,000 person years in the first group and 27 in the second group, the second group being one where they also had insulin. So they may have had more difficult to control diabetes. Now, as we say in the write-up, and I think you talked about this study when we were together in Phoenix teaching in our course, it really helps to be able to look at the graphs. And I'd encourage our readers to go to the Lancet, and it's in volume 375, page 481. Really worth looking at the graphs here. And for each cohort, what they found was an association between death and A1C that was J-shaped. So that means that the risk of death was higher at the low levels, then it went down, and then it went up again at the higher levels. And this is exactly the kind of thing we see with blood pressure, where really low blood pressure is not good, high blood pressure is not good either. There's sort of a sweet spot. And what they found was that the sweet spot for diabetes control was at about 7.5%. So that's very consistent with the data from the recent randomized controlled trials. And, you know, this was an observational study. It's limited in that way, but it also was quite a large study with a diverse group of patients, and I think really strengthens what we've been saying, is that this very tight control is potentially harmful, and that we really need to be looking for more moderate control of type 2 diabetes.
Right. And it calls into question this whole you know, these practice guidelines and these outcome measures that many healthcare plans have implemented that really mm-hmm. drive us to go lower and lower and lower. And, you know, if you go from 7.5 to 7, you know, you've gained nothing. In fact, you're actually a little bit worse. If you go the other direction from 7.5 to 8, it's the same story. So it really is. Obviously, nobody's saying that our patients should be at 13 or 14 in terms right. of glycosylated hemoglobin. But again, we need to get this in the hands of policymakers and health insurers and people that are setting outcome measures for our practices to let them know that here's again another piece of good data to show that aggressive treatment doesn't actually benefit our patients, and in this case it does harm.
Yeah, and we do need to get that message out, and it really has not gotten out. I mean, let me bring up an example here. My dad, who's 81, has what I think is well-controlled type 2 diabetes on very modest doses of medication, but his internist was upset because he had an A1C of 7.2 or 7.3% and wanted it under 7%. And I think that's just crazy in an 81-year-old, and it's really probably crazy in any age to get to worried or upset with that kind of an A1C.
Very important. In terms of the poems that we've done over the past several weeks, this is really a take-home one, and I would encourage, as you have already, people to look at the Lancet article. You don't have to read the article. Just look at the graph, cut it out, and show it to your endocrinologists or put it on your bulletin board so you remind yourself that lower isn't better.
Sounds good.
We'll talk with you again next week, Mark. Thanks.
All right. See you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.